This episode of Women Got Game is supported in part by Jim White Toyota, a proud sponsor of women's collegiate basketball in Northwest Ohio. Visit jimwhitetoyota.com.
Welcome to Women Got Game, where we uncover untold stories of extraordinary women in sports across Northwest Ohio and beyond. I'm Sophia Fisher, and we're going to celebrate the evolution of female athletes, coaches, and sports enthusiasts. Let's dive into a world often overlooked in the broader sports narrative. Ready to explore? Let's play. Back, everyone, to another exciting episode. Today, we're diving into the future of the University of Toledo women's basketball program with none other than Coach Jenny Bogus, an inspiring leader and the driving force behind what we believe is the next generation of championship basketball at Toledo. With a vision for success, a passion for player development, and a relentless work ethic, Coach Bogus is here to elevate the Rockets to new heights. In this episode, we'll get to know the coach, her journey, and what it takes to build a winning culture. Today on Women Got Game, I'm pleased to welcome what I'm calling the next gen 2.0 of the University of Toledo women's basketball program, the new head coach, Jenny Bogus.
I'm smiling so big. Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, I'm super excited to have you on the show. How's your transition been so far?
I'm well. It's gone unbelievably quick. I was fortunate to find a home very early on and get moved in and get settled. You know, that's the cornerstone, right? Having somewhere to lay your head. But the university, our administration, the city of Toledo, the community have been so incredibly welcoming. I couldn't be more happy to be your head women's basketball coach.
Yes, well, we're so grateful to have you. And there's never been a time, I don't think, in the history of women's collegiate basketball, especially after, you know, last season and all of the hype around not just Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, and there's so many other collegiate players, really, that you know, should get a lot more of notoriety. But you have to be excited to be in this position. And I think I'd like to jump right in and just really share your background and your journey and share a bit about your particular coaching journey, right? And what led you to take on the head position at University of Toledo?
Yeah, you have to be a little crazy to follow a legend, right? It takes a special person, I think. And I was considering that when I was considering the job. And I was like, oh my goodness, you have to be a little bit crazy to follow someone who's had so much success. But that probably gives you a little bit of window into my soul and my spirit. I love a challenge. And no one could have higher expectations for me than me. The standard for what I'm trying to do and who I'm trying to reach and how I'm trying to impact is really high. And I think it's also very aligned with the past, the integrity, the core values, the hard work, the community. So this was the perfect fit for me and the perfect opportunity, the perfect time. I always ask myself, when I'm given an opportunity, where can I go to use the gifts I've been given to do God's work? And I felt like that was the University of Toledo and the city of Toledo.
So let's talk a little bit about, I know you're in our conversations, you said you're super competitive. And you also, you know, have mentioned before to me that you have this pursuit of excellence. So let's talk about the vision and goals that you have for the program. What excites you the most about leading the University of Toledo women's basketball program?
I think what excites me the most is the partnership with the city of Toledo. The community support that we've had for so many years, the tradition of excellence, and not just on the court, but in the community, in the classroom. I mean, we're talking, these are really, really high-achieving young women. I think our spring GPA was just under a 3.8 cumulative, which is so impressive. And they're more than basketball players. And so I get to lead these young women at a very pivotal point in their life, you know, from 18 to 22 years old, and get to be, you know, another mentor and another hopefully guiding light for them of what community, family, philanthropy, education, pursuit of excellence looks like. And really what we want to do is just light a little fire, and hopefully they light another fire. And those ripples carry through on and throughout, and we continue to inspire the next generation because we were all inspired by someone. We were all lifted up by someone. And so the fact that I get to pay this forward and get to carry this on, you know, again, I shake my head often. I can't believe I'm sitting here with you guys. I can't believe people want to hear about me and my journey, but I'm super, super happy to be here.
Well, we can believe it, and I tell you what, we're blessed to have you. And I'd like to have you share a little bit more about your short-term goals for the program, and then maybe a couple long-term goals.
Yeah, short-term goals, make sure these six seniors have the best year they've ever had in their lives. And that means that they're feeling confident, they're feeling connected, and they're at a space with each other where they've done the work and they can truly compete. And that means sometimes it's raw and real out there and we're getting after it. But that's the short-term goal. We want every senior to leave the jersey better than they found it. And these women have certainly done that, you know, leaving with three rings already, but hopefully a fourth. Many of them will have master's degrees. But the other mission is for them to inspire and uplift these freshmen, to teach them what the blue-collar gold standard is, to teach them what it means to be a Rocket. And they're already doing that at a very high level. I don't even think our seniors know how our freshmen look at them with so much admiration, so much respect, so much trust. And so it's been really, really fun. Short-term goals, get better every day, out-team the other team, and let's see how far we can take this thing, because we do have a really special squad. Long-term goals, just the easy one is to get Toledo to a Sweet 16. Yeah, I don't think there's any reason that we can't do it. We certainly have the infrastructure and the resources. We have the footprint in recruiting. We have all of the opportunities from an education standpoint. If you look at majors that young women want to pursue, everything from engineering to nursing to education, you can do that at the University of Toledo. You don't have to play basketball and then go back and finish your degree. We're going to support you as an institution, and we have the resources to support you to be excellent, not just, like I said, on the court, but in the classroom as well. So Sweet 16 or bust. I was so fortunate to be able to attract a really talented staff, which is, as you guys all know, in the world, you're only as good as your coaches that are around you and your support staff. And so I don't think there's any reason we can't get there. We were pretty close when I was an assistant at Marquette. So this isn't just a dream. I have a blueprint, and I'm excited to put it to work.
I like that. It leads into the next question. So how do you plan to shape? You know, we have a great culture here around University of Toledo women's basketball, and we have for some time. But really, what's your vision around that, Bone, both on and off the court? What's that culture look like for this next gen?
Well, it sounds so simple, out-team the other team. Can we team stronger than they team? And when I think about that at UT, I think about our president, our athletic director, and then I also think about the community. I think about the invitations that I get to do things like this, to come speak and share our women. And then I think about, you know, being down last weekend at the Race for the Cure. There are so many things and so many opportunities here to plant that seed, to light that fire in young women, for philanthropy, for giving back, that how could we not grab hold of that? You know, because there are some institutions that are not in a city and don't have access to a city and the resources that the city provides, but also the opportunities for inspiration. So we're going to continue to partner, continue to build our culture. But really, in the heat of it, we want self-motivated, competitive young women who are great teammates. And that exemplifies our culture. You know, a strong environment will make people better, and strong people will make the environment better. And so we just want to continue to get that flywheel going, kind of that compound effect of, like, better people make better players make better people. And then we're going in the right direction. And the kind of women that have been in that locker room for so many years are the kind of women that are easy to support. They're easy to come and cheer for. They're easy to bring your daughter or granddaughter, or now, because of how the world has grown and evolved, your son or grandson to watch us play and get autographs and cheering Sammy McConowitz for three. So we want to outwork. We want to be, you know, a tougher, more disciplined team. We want to be confident, connected, and competitive. And we want to out-team the other team. But that starts with the people that you bring in the locker room. And I think it starts with our staff and our community modeling it for them every day.
Let's talk coaching philosophy. How would you describe your coaching philosophy and how you adapt to fit the team's strengths or their weaknesses on a day-to-day and then obviously for long-term success?
Yeah, I think if you want to boil my coaching philosophy down to, like, a really simple term and not get into the X's and O's and the nitty-gritty, right, for the basketball fans, but as a woman, I believe, as a human, I believe that people become what you see in them. And so my coaching philosophy is to remind them every day what they can do, what they can become, to remind myself and my staff that if there's something that they can't do, it's not their ability, it's a skill that maybe they're lacking, whether it's a confrontational skill in a leadership moment, whether it's a left-handed layup. You know, life is about building skills and then building confidence in those skills. And so as a coach and as a human with, you know, again, when you talk about mentoring and coaching philosophies, I'm talking about my staff too. I'm talking about the people in our program top to bottom. I just want everybody to know what they can become, and I want them to know that I see the best in them, and I'm going to remind them every day. And it's the same for our program. I see what this program can become. And to me, that gets me out of bed on fire every day.
All right. So let's go into recruitment a little bit. How do you prioritize when recruiting new players on your team? I know you had some new girls coming in, mm-hmm. you know, maybe you brought some with you, maybe you didn't. Talk to us about that transitional moment. How do you build that core team?
It's very complicated. And I would say that's, you know, probably one of my bigger strengths. I've been able to navigate that really complex puzzle fairly well throughout. And thank goodness for my mentors who taught me things along the way and mistakes that I was able to make before I, you know, got in this seat. But I think building a team is about getting a really diverse group of people with different backgrounds that can sharpen one another. And we talk about iron sharpens iron all the time in our program. We want really different young women as people, students, and players that all are like-minded and on the same mission. And if you can get that and you can get them on a mission to be bigger than themselves, for the team to get all the glory and for the team to get all the accolades, you're off to a pretty good start. But like I said, we really focus on that self-motivated and competitive. As a leader, it's hard for me to identify with someone who doesn't want to be their best self every day. It's hard for me to identify with people who don't want to compete to win every rep every day. And so I try to kind of stay away from that because it's almost unfair to the player.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm like, oh, yeah, I think we would butt heads a lot. And again, you want to be able to empower and uplift and not just, you know, come down on them with the hammer all of the time. That's not really in my personality. But when we're assembling a team, you know, we want to play with pace. We really like to get up and down. We want 5 willing and able passers. We want 5 willing and able scorers. The joke in recruiting is always, and with passing, some are willing but not able, and some are able but not willing. So we want that selfless player that understands that maybe the right play for Toledo is that one more pass. And you can always tell in recruiting when a player makes a great pass, if they get more excited for their teammate than they do for themselves, that's something we really focus on. Do they love basketball and do they love their teammates? And then do their teammates love them? And again, we're going back to that locker room, winning the locker room first when you're assembling the team, and the court will take care of itself.
Sure. It seems like, too, the recruiting landscape has changed quite a bit, especially in the last few years, especially with name, image, and likeness and the transfer portal. So I'm interested to get your perspective. Is it overall a positive for the sport, or how do you feel when it comes to recruiting?
I think it's incredibly positive if it's used as it's intended, which is everything, right? Anything that is used as it's designed for what it's for, it's really good. But when we get off track, things can get a little awry. I think for us, specifically at Toledo, I won't lie, that is one of the reasons that I was very excited about this opportunity, to provide an elite experience for these student athletes. These young women do deserve those opportunities. And in a city like Toledo, with the industry, with the population, with the support, I think that there is an untapped potential here there too, which will allow us only to, like I said, get that flywheel going. You know, better players make better people. And then we're really cooking at a high level and chasing that Sweet 16 dream. But I think it's something that we have the opportunity to really blow up here.
I like that you mentioned elite level. And especially, I'd like to get your thoughts on, obviously, Toledo being part of Mid-American Conference, being a mid-major. But I think you and I have had conversation a little bit in the past about, you know, there is a feeling of not just, you know, standing out in the MAC. But tell us a little bit about why we are more elite within not just the mid-majors, but how people perceive us outside of the conference.
For sure, right. The world loves these little boxes, right? So, oh, they're Big East player, Big Ten player, MAC player. We don't recruit that way, and I don't think that way. That's just not really how it was wired. I don't think UConn thinks of themselves as a Big East team. They think of themselves as a national champion in women's basketball. There's not a box you can put UConn in other than national champion box. So when I love the MAC. I came to work in the MAC. I think it's an incredible league with some very talented coaches and players. However, I'm not thinking about the MAC. I'm thinking about building a Sweet 16 team. And the MAC is going to only propel us and be a platform for us because of the strength of the league. But I really kind of want to eliminate those boxes. And I think our director of athletics has that same vision for the University of Toledo. You know, our facilities are high level. You go down top to bottom what he offers us to offer our student athletes, yeah, I think it puts us in a class of our own. And the thing that I like about his vision and the vision of our leadership is that we're just getting started. You know, we're not counting these days as the glory days. We're trying to build the glory days. We're trying to move this thing forward. And the only way we're going to do that is by having that big vision and seeing what this truly can become.
So what challenges do you foresee in your first season, and how do you plan on handling them?
How long do you have, right? We're coaches. This is what we do. We could pick this
apart
for days.
I know it's a loaded gun. It's a little bit.
It's so funny, too, because every time we win a game, I'm like, how do we win that game? Because, you know, you think of all the things you should have done better, could have done more. And then when we lose a game, I'm like, how did we lose? Like, we're right there. So, no, I think some of the challenges here are obvious. We lost back-to-back MAC Players of the Year and Soph and Q. Incredible women, incredible players. It's a new system. So, essentially, we have 15 freshmen. So maybe some of the returners that were relying on knowing the system and the strength of the system, and there is value in playing somewhere for 3, 4, or 5 years, that was kind of eliminated. And so that's probably one of our biggest challenges. We're young at the one and the two spot, but that's not – I don't see that as really a challenge. It's an opportunity. These young women were in the program, and they know what it takes to win. They know what it takes to be a champion, and they're bringing that every day. And they are so coachable. They're so bought in. They're having fun every day. And so I think once we get settled in, figure out exactly what our identity is, and that's not something I can give them. They have to earn that every day with each other, build that trust, then we're going to be just fine.
So with that being said, you know, I talk a lot about style. You know, people say beyond coaching style, style of play. And, you know, from your perspective, you know, what are you bringing to the table that's going to be a little different?
Well, I'd say the most obvious thing is the pace that we'd like to bring. And my responsibility in inheriting this roster is to make these players as successful as possible. And so some of the transformation that you'll see in the next, you know, not this year, but the next year and the year after will be even greater. The good news is we inherited some really talented players. Some of them don't necessarily fit that pace of play style, especially if you look at our center position. They know that. We talk about that. We laugh about that. But they've really embraced the fitness level that it requires to kind of take this thing up a notch. They're having fun. I joked with Hannah Novorowski yesterday. She got this crazy rim run, which is like when the five runs down the middle of the floor and the point guard throws it over everybody and they catch it and lay it in. And she, I thought her face was going to explode. She was smiling so big. She was having so much fun. And then you take Nan Garcia, who's a returning, you know, post player for us, a three-point specialist. She said the other day in practice, there's nothing like hitting a three in Savage because the place just blows up. So you'll see some more three-point action. You'll see a little bit more pace of play. We'd like to be more aggressive defensively, but all of that in time. And we'll recruit to that. But right now we're just really enjoying playing a motion, read and react offense. They're having fun taking ownership of the outcome of plays. And again, just seeing them celebrate one another when they make a big play for a teammate is the most rewarding thing that I could possibly experience.
And don't you think a lot of that with the trends in women's basketball, especially with hitting a three, it really, you know, really changed the dynamic, especially with Caitlin Clark and the Clark effect, as people say. But, you know, in our own backyard, the University of Toledo, it is exciting. I think that the fan base, and then you get into, you know, when we played University of Michigan, I thought that was a big win.
Huge.
Obviously. And so will you be playing teams like that this year on your roster? Or
we will. We will. Yeah, we've got we've got Iowa on the schedule at Iowa. So it's funny you mentioned Caitlin Clark. That's our second game of the year. And then we'll play Maryland at a tournament out in at the Naval Academy. And then we'll play in a tournament down in North Carolina near Asheville. And Arkansas will be in that tournament. So we've got three Power Four. I always say Power Five. It's Power Four now. Three Power Four programs on our schedule. And that is a line. I inherited the schedule, but that's aligned with my philosophy too. You can't become something you've never seen. We can't become a Sweet 16 team if we've never competed against one, if we don't understand the rigor and the details and the just the grit that comes with competing at that level. And so I'm excited about that. I know our team is excited about that. You've mentioned it. You know, we've got several players on our roster that have beat Big Ten teams, Power Four teams, and we are not going in that to learn alone. We're going in that to win. And so I'm excited for the opportunity for our young women to go to Iowa and feel what it feels like to play there. Because when we're on the road in the second round of the NCAA tournament to get to that next level, that's what it's going to feel like. Yeah, it's just generally a really, really fun thing. And it's at Iowa. It's really cool. They were in the national championship last year. It's like, let's go.
And anything can happen on any given game night.
Let's go. NIU just went up to Notre Dame and won in football. Like, why can't Toledo women's basketball go to Iowa and win? Yeah. We can do it. Out-team the other team.
I love it. So let's talk about breaking barriers in coaching. So as a female coach, right, and it used to be a really high, you know, profile, traditionally, you know, male-dominated sports environment. But along the way, talk about some of your unique, you know, triumphs and challenges as being a female in women's basketball, especially collegiate D1 level.
Well, the first thing I would say is now that I'm 22 years in, some of the challenges I put on myself early. I put a box around my own future and my own potential because I had a small-minded view of myself. I'm from a town of 1,100. Most people that have heard me speak have heard me say that. I didn't play at the highest level. I played at a Division II school. So I maybe had an idea of what my ceiling was. And fortunately, I outgrew that. But I think early on, my biggest challenge was myself. I wasn't dreaming big enough. And so I'm thankful that I was put in positions and opportunities to grow from that. But I had some amazing mentors that didn't let me think small, that taught me the game, that taught me how to be a professional, that taught me that integrity is the only thing that matters first, and then going from there. But my path has been crazy. If you look at my bio, people always are like, what do you do with all the clothes when you leave every school? I'm like, well, we have a party, and I give everybody a trash bag, and they take what they want, and the rest goes to Goodwill or whatever it might be. But no, my journey's been so incredible. I think the pivotal point for me, if you want me to really define a specific moment, was going to work for Stephanie Glantz at Columbia. I'm living in Manhattan. I'm way over my head as far as life goes. But Stephanie had been the associate head coach for Pat Summitt and Kay Yao. And Kay Yao is from the Kay Yao Fund and the Cancer Fund. So they do the Pink Game. This is where this all started. And so two legends, gold medal coaches, Olympic Final Four coaches. Stephanie really taught me what the next level was and how to dream big and what it took to recruit at that level and prepare at that level. And then I was given the opportunity to go to Marquette, and everybody knows who's followed what happened there. You know, Carolyn was a 36-year-old first-time head coach. Some people said, you're gonna leave Columbia to go work for a kid at Marquette? Like, you guys are going to fall on your faces. Wow. And I was like, no, I think we're going to do just fine. And then we won three Big East championships, won a couple NCAA tournament games, had back-to-back players of the year, and then we go to Penn State, and the rest is kind of history. But I've had an awesome journey, and I truly feel like it's just getting started.
So it's really all about the mentorships and role models. Nobody does it alone.
No one does it alone.
And it takes so many things, I think, with the business of sport, especially women's sport. I think it's changed so much, especially not only just looking at, you know, more exposure, the game, the level of the game. And I call it, you know, Next Gen 2.0, because I think there's so many now with exposure becomes, you know, the media contracts come then. You get more exposure. You get the bigger deals. And it's that I think, as what happened this last year anyway, is I think that's what's really going to blow it up, and that's not going to go away. It allows for us to, with the budgets, to play bigger teams, bigger tournaments, and the more exposure you get, the better you are. So let's talk about that, some navigating some expectations for you here in the Mid-American Conference. You know, how do you manage high expectations when they're placed on you, being a female coach, but also on your athletes? Because it can be a lot of pressure for them as well.
For sure. Well, first with myself, like I mentioned early on, the pressure of the history of here, to me, the job is the job. And whether Coach Kolob had not won at all for the last 3 years and gotten let go, or won back-to-back-to-back championships for the last 3 years, which is what happened, to me, still the job is the job. And when I got to Monmouth, the team had only won 2 games the year before, and I was still chasing championships. And so, again, I'm a little crazy. It's fine. But the pressure, it is real, and it is palpable. And, you know, people in this community say things like, we're counting on you. And to me, that just lifts me up. It does not feel like pressure. It feels like we are in a place where women's basketball matters, and that matters to me. So bring it on. I will carry it all. I know I'm filling big shoes. I'm happy to just jam both feet in there and walk big every day. But to me, this is just a really fun thing. We're going to stay in our process. We're going to work as hard as we possibly can every day to be the best people, students, and players we can possibly be. If anything, the players probably feel more pressure, just because they're young, they're impressionable, and they care a lot. So how do we navigate that? We're managing that. We don't talk a lot about winning, and maybe that's a problem for some people. We just want to get better every day, because there's going to be games where we go on the road and we win by 13 and we don't play well because we're Toledo and we're expected to win that game. But if we don't build those habits in those games and focus on our consistency, those habits will show up in later games versus better teams that will change the outcome. And so process oriented every single day. And then again, on your worst day, can you pick someone else up? You know, for Jess Cook, like I'm telling her, we got a freshman that's playing her same position, Evalise Cole, kick her butt every day. Get her ready for when you're gone. And so maybe when one of our upperclassmen is having a hard day or feeling the pressures, oh gosh, you know, Sophie and Q are gone. If I play like this, we're going to lose. They've never said that, but you can see if they wear it at times. Pour into a teammate. Get outside yourself. We talk about the 6 inches between your ears being enemy territory sometimes. You never want to go to war in enemy territory, right? So get outside your head, get into your team, and then we can out-team the other team. And you can see them really enjoying, like, loving and leading one another.
So when you talk about that, it's a lot about personal growth and mentorship. I guess you would say not only just with you, you've had mentors, but even as a team, you're saying some of the seniors are taking, you know, the freshmen under their wings. And let's talk about some of the key mentors in your career and that influenced your style, actually, of not just coaching, but just how you, you know, navigate life.
It's how I move. Colby Tilley, my guy, Coach Tilley, he hired me. He was my head coach when I was a graduate assistant. And he's just a very good man. He won over 700 games in the Hall of Fame, so he won a lot. He was a very good teacher. But he was also, like, the least judgy, shameful coach I had ever been around at that point in my life. And it used to be a big thing, you know, just try to make them feel as ornery as you possibly could so they'd change. He was the opposite. He really just, it was about the skill. It was about teaching. And he would say things, you know, we would joke with him all the time. Coach Tilley, come, you know, let's do this on Sunday. He'd be like, no, that's okay. That's not for me. We knew he was going to church. But he wouldn't say, I'm going to church. Y'all should be there too. He was never shameful or judgy or anything like that. So it's just one little example that really carried me throughout. And then style of play wise, 1,000% Carolyn Keeger. She hired me at Marquette. She was working in the ACC and brought a very, very frantic, exciting style of basketball to the Big East when we were at Marquette. We had to recruit to the system. Our second year at Marquette, we took over a 9-win team, and then, or the 9th place team, 9th out of 10. And then, like I said, quickly won 3 championships. But we just had a really high standard for everything we did. We questioned ourselves in a really healthy space. And so the dialogue that I have with our coaching staff and our team, I think, is really healthy and open and transparent. But that pace, you know, bringing an ACC style of basketball where we're being confrontational on the floor, where we're applying pressure on the rim for 40 minutes, where we're just really having fun, flinging it around and celebrating each other, that kind of molded and mentored me into the style of basketball that we're going to play here at Toledo. And I was able to take it with me to Monmouth and then bring it here. And what's cool for me is, like, it's kind of like your third child, right? We took over and this is my third time, really my fifth time doing this, but we'll just call it the third time. And it's like what worked maybe at Marquette and Penn State, some of it didn't work at Monmouth, and some of it is and isn't working here. And so you just have to have your eyes wide open and your ears wide open. And I think one of my strengths is listening to our team. What do you need? You can feel their energy shift when something doesn't stick. And I'm like, oh, okay, we don't have to do that. Let's try this. But just giving them a voice and hearing what they need, I think has been really powerful in my career as well. And that's been from most of my mentors, actually. I've been very fortunate.
So let's talk about what is, you know, if you're interested in becoming a D1 coach or maybe you're an assistant coach somewhere, I mean, what would you tell, you know, people who are listening? What is the biggest challenge being a D1 coach?
I think getting noticed, right? You've got to be willing to do the things that nobody else wants to do. I just remember early on them being like, anybody want to da-da-da-da? And it was crickets. And I'm like, I'll do it. I don't know how, but I'll figure it out or I'll ask. So just getting noticed and getting your foot in the door, I think, would be the hardest part. But I would also argue, like, do simple better. Do simple better than everyone else. Be organized, manage your time, and invest in relationships. Because being an authentic connector in any profession, as we all know, but especially when you're mentoring young people, is the most important thing. You can fool adults occasionally, but kids, young people can smell blood. They're little sharks, man. They can see right through it. So you've got to really work on building authentic relationships and being who you say you are.
I like that word. This segues beautifully into my next question about, you know, authenticity and how you plan to connect with community, but also fan engagement. How do you plan to engage with the Toledo community? You know, we have a big following in our community for women's basketball and a big, strong fan base. But what role do you see also you playing with that intensity and that creating of getting new people who've maybe never been to a game and the people to continue to come to see you play?
I've been seeing a lot of you guys out and about. You see me in my little Rocket gear, and I'm telling you, first tickets are on me. Like, come to a game. And my job is to create a product that you fall in love with and you want to come back and see over and over again. And then you want to bring friends to come see over and over again. But as far as engaging with the community, like, beyond the brand, beyond creating an elite program, to me, it's having an open door. And I really, truly do. Hopefully everyone knows that I'm accessible and available. You can come check in, grab us at the tailgate at a football game. You'll see us at the volleyball games. You'll see us at the men's basketball games. You'll see us at women's soccer, and just had coffee with our softball coach, who's absolutely crushing it the other day, and picked her brain because she's, you know, been there a couple years now. What'd you do that you're glad you did? What do you wish you would have done better? You're going to see me around the city, and you're going to see our staff and our team around the city. But beyond just being available and having an open door policy and giving the community access to what they really want, which is our players and our team, we're going to be pushing this community forward with our philanthropy efforts, with getting involved in all of the causes that we possibly can. You'll see us. You can't miss us. We're tall. We're rocking the Rocket gear. But we want to be as involved in the community as the community is involved with us. And so anytime people are reaching out, we're doing everything from the soup kitchens to the Race for the Cure, like we talked about. You know, we're doing Sierra again, the Sierra game again this year. We're doing everything that we possibly can. Those are just a handful of things. But we'll go above and beyond. You'll see us around a lot. And I hope that you'll reach out if you need something from us. You know, if there's something that our program can do that can add value, whether it's, you know, we donate 4 tickets to your event so you can auction them off to, hey, coach, can you come speak to my group of women's leaders? Like, I'm in it and I'm all about it.
So what do you think fans should be most excited about for your particular, not only your season expectations, but at the end of the season, what would you be really jazzed about if this and this happens?
Well, I'd be really proud if everyone got to know really who's wearing the jersey. And that it's so much more than basketball, because no matter the outcome, you're going to want to stick around. You're going to want to support these women. You're going to fall in love with who they are and, like, who's behind that jersey. I think you mentioned the WNBA early and how the game has grown. Well, with it's come a lot of hate. You know, with the pressure comes a lot of other things. And so I hope that you guys continue to support us, but really get to know. I'll be really pumped if everybody's like, golly, that Sammy McConaughey, she's a great kid. You know, that Nan Garcia, she's really fun, but she's awesome off the court too. But if we can continue to move it forward, and what does that look like exactly? You know, we're 7 practices in, I'm unsure. And like I said, I don't talk about the outcomes a lot, but we want to continue to contend year in and year out for MAC championships. We want to be a perennial NCAA tournament team. We want to position ourselves because of our strength of schedule, because of those Michigan upsets, air quote upsets. That was a shot. Sorry. I don't do that often. You know, from some of those big Power 4 wins, to not have to be perfect that last weekend in March, to be in a position to get an at-large bid. And so those are some things that we talk about in the program a lot. But just continue to be our best every day. And we say all the time, it's not the best team that wins, it's the team that plays the best. So just going out and recruiting the most talented roster doesn't guarantee you a championship. When we went to the NCAA tournament at Monmouth, we didn't have a single all-conference player on our team. We're a good team. And so if you guys can see the passion, if a win would be everyone seeing the passion that our players play with, the love that they have for each other in Toledo, and that they know who they are as people beyond the jersey, I'd be really satisfied.
Yeah, I can say it. You can't, but I want to tell everybody in the MAC, we're coming for you. That's what I was feeling you were going to say. We're outside the MAC, you know.
Period.
Hey, just the Wolverines are not too far from us, so.
Yeah, I say it all the time. We're playing the game. Might as well win it. Like, let's go. And I think Coach Jeff, he's our associate coach, and I've mentioned our staff, so shout out to them, Coach Jackie and Coach TK and Coach Jeff. Coach Jeff tells me all the time, nobody knows how much of a killer I am. I don't know if it's this Southern charm, like, just smile. You know, that was like raised as a little girl. Just smile, sweetie. And I'm like, I will cut your face. Like, you try to take my ball, you know, as a player. I'd be like, no. So I'm really competitive from everything. Our staff laughs at me all the time. If somebody's game schedule graphic is better in my mind than our game schedule graphic, I don't like that. I don't like that. If someone's gear reveal is better than our gear reveal, I don't like that. I just have a problem for some reason. It's just the way that I'm wired, of us not being the best, if we can, at every single thing we do. And I think that's why it's easy for me to not talk about championships and not talk about winning, because I truly believe if we do pursue that excellence, if we do try to be our best in everything we do, the outcome will absolutely take care of itself. If we can do simple better than the other team, if we can be more confident, more connected, more competitive down the wire, those championships will fall right in our lap.
I like it. So now some fun and personal questions. Uh-oh. Okay. So what's something that people, you know, may not know about you outside of basketball?
Outside of basketball? I'm a goof. Like, I'm a big goofball, and the players are finally starting to figure out that I'm just silly, and I'm so competitive, which we just said, and so about the details. But on the flip side of it, I really believe life is short. I love to laugh and have fun, and I love the fact that I get to be around these young people and their energy and their goals and their dreams, and they make me better every day. I leave learning as much or more from them every day as hopefully they're learning from me, but people probably don't know what a goofball I am. I'm pretty silly.
So let's talk about any pregame rituals, like, you know, you don't wash your socks after you win the first three games, or any type of traditions that you carry throughout the season.
Girl, I'm not wearing socks in those heels. I'm wearing heels. No, I'm just kidding. You'll see. There'll be a lot of high heels out there. Traditions. I count the stars and the flag during the anthem. For some reason, the national anthem has always made me very emotional. And it's just such a stillness before, and there's so much energy and emotions and so much preparation that's gone into that. And so I count the stars. I call it find the flag when I get real mad, or at the refs especially. I'll find the flag, take a deep breath. There are a couple gospel songs that I always listen to that really calm me down. I joke all the time, you know, back in the day when we were growing up, the radio was 1 to 10, right? Turn it all the way up to 10, right? That, now it goes to like 96. But I use a 1 to 10 a lot, and I'm probably not good at 10. It's too much. I'm too amped. It's just too much. And then it goes on to the kids. And so I like try to stay at an 8 during games and during practice, because when I get to 10, they're like, whoa. And the refs are like, whoa, because I have a lot of energy. So I've learned to kind of stay at an 8. But some of those spiritual songs, you know, I Surrender All and things like that, just kind of put me in a place of peace and contentment with the preparation. And then I'm still and well enough to hear the game and feel the game and make adjustments for my team and put us in a position to hopefully be really successful.
So I heard you like pizza,
what?
Right? So I'm going to go for, like, is it thin crust, thick crust? Are you a supreme pepperoni? What's your favorite?
I'm pretty classic. I love New York style pizza. I'm the only one of the things I'm happy to be out of Jersey for is maybe I'll just trim it down a little bit, so I'm not grabbing a slice for a dollar at lunch every day. But no, just thin crust pizza, pepperoni, and banana peppers. That's my order. Ask my wife. She's like, I got pizza. I got it your way means pepperoni, banana peppers.
All right, I like
it. I'm also a sucker for cheesy breadsticks.
Yes, you can't just eat pizza.
How long do y'all have on the food? No, I'm just kidding.
So, favorite candy? Are you more of an M&M, Snickers? What's your favorite?
Shout out to Sean Bear, our assistant coach back at Monmouth. He got me on. Have you seen those? It's a gummy with the nerds on the outside.
Yes.
What is that? It is crack. I can't stop eating it. It is like the most addictive thing. But
that's your go-to.
That's
huh?
my go-to. But I'm salty over sweet. I will grab a big handful of almonds or potato chips before I'll grab a candy bar.
All right.
Good, bad, or indifferent.
All right, so are you going to be, do you have any vice, like a energy drink, or are you more of water, or what is your go-to when it's you just trying to chill out and relax? What's your go-to?
Diet Coke.
Yeah.
If you give me a fountain Diet Coke with extra ice, I'm very happy.
Everybody loves fountain over bottle or, you know, over can.
It's no-brainer.
It's something about going into the gas station and getting the, you know, I don't know if Big Gulp is a...
Is it
a thing anymore? But you know, there's nothing like that fountain.
I love it. And if it's a real special spot, and they got the voodoo, the new Coke voodoo machine, and you can just do like a splash of the cherry Coke in there.
Oh god,
it's so good.
That's a great name for it. I haven't heard that used yet, so we're gonna have to call it that from now on.
I don't know what it's called.
Like, what don't they have in that?
Oh, it's amazing.
You know, it's everything you want. So, on one serious note, you know, what's one takeaway that if there's in the audience listening right now, there's a young woman who is aspiring, she wants to be a successful collegiate D1 basketball coach, what do you tell her?
Align yourself with good people. You know, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. We talk about that a lot, and it's really true. Get around the right people that are on the right track. There's no shortcuts. But like I said earlier, be willing, be available, volunteer, show up. Hone your craft. You know, it's so easy in this industry, in any industry, especially as a woman, to get pigeonholed into a role. And so I'm grateful for the male and female coaches that I worked for that didn't, you know, tell me like, shh, just be pretty and go recruit me players. They taught me how to coach. They taught me how to teach. And so if someone tries to put you in that box and maybe you have to go there in that role to get the next role, make sure you're honing your craft on the side. We've seen too many women get put in this seat, in this head coach role, and they weren't ready to coach yet. They had only been allowed to recruit, or only had been allowed to player develop, but they hadn't been given the opportunities to grow and coach. So hone your craft, get your little whiteboard, get a Sharpie or a Expo marker in your room, draw plays, practice, you know, just like anything else, you've got to practice.
Sure, and be yourself, right? Be your authentic self. You don't have to copy other coaches' styles. Just be you and follow your heart there.
Why would you be anything else?
That's right. I like it. And another final question is, you build the next gen 2.0 of women's basketball champions at the University of Toledo. What do you hope to be remembered for, both as a coach and as a leader?
I will tell you that if no one knows my name, I'm fine. Like, UT women's basketball, wow, they're really good. In 10 years, like, wow, they're really good. And they're like, who's that coach again? I would be cool with that. I understand that that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen in this community. But I just need everybody to know that that would be okay with me, other than they know that I'm always at every event going on in town, whether it's at the Ronald McDonald House or Imagination Station the other night. You know, whatever's going on, I'm going to show up and I'm going to be there. I want them to know the players of our names. I want to lift those women up. But what I'm going to be known for as a coach, probably an uplifter, an inspirer. I just hope that when these young women go on and lead in their own rights, whether they're nurses or doctors or police officers or attorneys, whatever it is that they go on in their future endeavor, that they they recall the examples of when I gave them grace on their worst day, of when I taught them how to have authentic confrontation and how to stand up for yourself in a professional manner, how to encourage and uplift, and how to celebrate your peers who are working really hard. I hope my legacy, is way, way, way bigger than wins and losses. I do also hope to continue to be a championship head coach. They caught me last week. I just came out of my mouth. I said, I didn't come to Toledo to be average. You don't come to the University of Toledo to be average at what you're doing. I certainly didn't. Our players certainly didn't. So I hope I'm known for a standard of excellence and a lot of smiles and a lot of love.
Well, I tell you, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you as our guest today. And Coach Bogus, you got game. That's a wrap on today's conversation with Coach Jenny Bogus, the visionary leading the charge for the University of Toledo women's basketball team. As we look ahead, it's clear the Rockets are poised for something special under her guidance, one built on grit, growth, and a commitment to excellence. We can't wait to see the program soar to new heights and witness the impact Coach Bogus will make, not just on the court, but in the lives of her players. Thanks for tuning in, and remember, this is just the beginning. Stay locked in. Don't forget to subscribe, share, or comment on what women's sports stories you'd like to hear about. And a special thank you to my executive producer, Chris Pfeiffer, and I'm your host and producer, Sophia Fisher. Please visit us at wgte.org/womengotgame.
This episode of Women Got Game is supported in part by Jim White Toyota, a proud sponsor of women's collegiate basketball in Northwest Ohio. Visit jimwhitetoyota.com.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.